Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, August 1st, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 36, the second paragraph, starting with the italics suddenly, through one paragraph that ends in, so I tried another. Today's readers are Julie B., Elena C., Martha Z., on the 12 Steps, Jen P., Traditions, Karen W., and our newcomer greeter, Susan S.H., and the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Ken W.H. The reference numbers for yesterday, July 31st, 7 a.m., 21,618, that's 21,618, and the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 21,619, that's 21,619. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Yes, can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Jen P. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Jen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jen P., a recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and grateful that we can recover. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do this service.
Thank you, Jen. I will now ask for Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W., a recovering compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen. All right, so how does our meeting work? Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time, or you'll hear the beeper in the background. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 36 on the second paragraph, starting with suddenly. And I am going to ask Julie B. to get us started. Go ahead, Julie. Can't wait. Julie, press star 1 to unmute. Julie B.
My bad. Sorry. Good morning. Good morning, Julie B. from Ohio Compulsive Overeater. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of whiskey in my milk, it couldn't hurt me on a full stomach. I ordered a whiskey and poured it into the milk. I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart, but felt assured as I was taking the whiskey on a full stomach. The experiment went so well that I ordered another whiskey and poured it into more milk. That didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. Good morning. I'm Julie B. from Ohio. Very grateful to be of service, and I love the reading and then someone sharing, so I'm glad I have that role today. We're talking about Jim here in the Big Book, and, you know, something to just keep in mind, the paragraph before was that he felt resentment. He went basically on a drive to rid himself of those anxious feelings that he was having towards his boss. So this is something for me that I need to constantly keep in my mind, that I need to do 10 steps immediately when I'm feeling any sort of way. I started to think about what I am alike with Jim on this, where, you know, just crossed my mind that if I just put like a little bit of something or just do something that I think is right. So for me, that what that used to look like about 4 years ago before coming into the rooms was skipping breakfast. You know, if I'll just skip breakfast today, I won't really eat until like noon or 1 o'clock. You know, well, what that did, that started the sickness. That was like me putting whiskey into my milk. It then went to being where I was a little bit too hungry, and then I would go to the different restaurants in the area and just make that my mission for the day of getting my fix, going even to gas stations, going to, you know, just way overdoing it and asking the waiter to kind of keep bringing stuff over, you know, I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have just another little whiskey in my milk. You know, but now today I get to have a beautiful breakfast almost at the same time every morning. I have food in my house. I prepare food. I do several meals at once, but not eating. I just prep them, and then I weigh and measure them. And, you know, no longer do I just close the curtains and completely stuff myself. What I do instead is I spend time with God, and I enlarge my spiritual life, which is something that Jim also was not staying on top of. And I consider OA a boat, like a beautiful cruise ship that I get to stay on if I do the things like outreach and sponsorship and 10 steps and committing my food each day. And the way that I also stay on the most important thing is that I work with others. Those people that are drowning on the side of the boat, I get down with them and I help pull them up. So today I stay on the boat, and I hope that you do too, and don't jump back in into the newcomer. Truly, you're in the right place, and just do what you're told. Okay. Thank you so much. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B., for getting us started. And a reminder to welcome the newcomers. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. We're so glad you're here. Okay, so we're going to take names of those who would care to share on what was read. We ask for your first name and your last initial and the city or the state that you are from so people can find you on the contact list. Okay, who would like to share? Oh, friendly reminder, if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, we ask that you please step aside so that others can share their experience, strength, and hope as well, and everyone can be heard. So, who would like to share, please?
Loretta A.
Rossam.
Rick
Janet
J.
B. Janet B.
Loretta.
Leia F.
Nancy C.
Janet B.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
B. Robin.
Sheila F.
Did you get Janet, please?
Sheila, yes. Okay, this is who I have. I have Loretta H. Did I hear Rick J? Leia F. Janet B. Nancy C. Robin P. Russ M. Sheila F. Is there anyone I missed in that first group of people?
You did hear Rick J.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, thanks, Rick. All right. Let's start with that group. Awesome group. Okay, Loretta H., you're up, followed by Rick J. Please go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning all along with my precious God. You are saving my life. Also, welcome to the newcomer recovered in North Carolina. So this is an interesting story. And this is where I go when I'm nervous or whatever. So this time it will be different. This time it won't hurt me or no thinking at all. And this is the true story of Ralph P. And Ralph P., in the first edition, has the story, a prodigal story, and it tells of him and a buddy in a bar plotting because his wife is going to divorce him on how to get sympathy for her so she will not divorce him. So they're conjuring up this scheme, and his buddy decides to bring a gun into the picture, and the guy is Ralph is afraid of guns, so he actually goes, decides this isn't a good idea, and goes to get some liquor, and then goes to a drugstore and puts his milk or his drink in a milkshake. He thought that the ice cream would not make as much of a scent to his wife as when he talked to her. So I guess it didn't go very well, because, but that was his last drunk. And it just reminds me of me. I mean, I'm duly addicted, so I would do something like that. And it's because I'm insane. And the no thinking at all. I mean, the conjuring and the propaganda that I can get myself into when I'm nervous. And, you know, it's the only way I can get away with that type of a situation is to bring God into the picture. I love the first share. I'm also a delayer of meals. I'm also, you know, I don't want to eat because I think that's going to solve my problems. And then it backfires and boomerangs. So he actually, you know, and then he takes two sandwiches, and Joe and Charlie said, he's also a compulsive overeater. So I can tie into this story. Like, it's very humorous. God has a great sense of humor. And he did recover after this milkshake incident. And I have too today, with God's grace and mercy. I have many 24 hours because of God and this program and working it and helping the newcomers. So with that, I pass, Amy. It's called The Prodigal Story. It's in the first edition. Read it. It's kind of funny. And it's also very inspiring. I pass.
Thank you, Loretta, from North Carolina. All right, Rick J., you're up. Followed by F.
Good morning. My name's Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. And thank you so much for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being on the line. And you know, this is a very powerful paragraph. It's especially pertinent for me. I'm sitting here reading this, and it's August 1st. A year ago, on July 30th, I had made a decision to reset my abstinent date, and it's been a year. And during that time, you know, despite everything that I had been doing, you know, service work on vision, sponsoring people, you know, I was doing prayer and meditation. And I mean, I was doing, in my mind, I was doing enough. I was maintaining my spiritual condition. And, you know, it's amazing how this, this disease is so very cunning, baffling, and powerful. And you know what? It's also very, very patient. And now I had some, I had some outside circumstances going on. But for me, I believe that my disease was like, oh, wow, this is a perfect, perfect trap door to get in. You know, and I was going through chemo at the time. And my father just died, and I was using like this when I wasn't exactly like eating the way I normally do. I wasn't into sugar. I wasn't binge eating, but I was just getting off my food plan. I wasn't talking to my sponsor about it. And it just set up this sort of this dishonesty cycle, which started disconnecting me. And on this July, of last year, I was feeling these salt cravings that I sometimes got with the chemo. And instead of talking to my sponsor or already having a plan in place, you know, to where I could reasonably eat something that wouldn't trigger me, I just made a decision to eat some barbecue potato chips, you know, that I cannot eat. And I had this instant rationale that, you know what, I'm going through chemo, I'm going to do this this salt thing here, and I'll have a few and I'll stop, and that'll be it. And that was the thinking. That was the thought that suddenly crossed my mind. And it triggered me in a way where I ate much more than I intended to. And I realized that at that point in time, I could no longer call myself abstinent. And, you know, ironically, I was scheduled to be moderating the meeting, you know, which was upcoming in August. And after texting Leah and saying I could not do that and talking to my sponsees, and I just restarted. And and Monday, I'm very grateful to say that I will be moderating Vision again. And I'm so very grateful that today I'm maintaining my spiritual condition in a way that I need to. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much, Rick J. from Cary, North Carolina. Leah F., you're up, followed by Janet B.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead,
thank
Leah.
You so, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and in upstate New York, and at this time, I want to point out something to you. There's a difference in about in understanding that I can't stay stopped, and then finally understanding that I'm a true step one. I've come to step one. Just like the doctor's opinion tells me on Roman numeral page 28, the effect that this food had on me, it had me in its grip. It had me on its hold. I remember going down the supermarket and just looking at that aisle, and then while the tears were falling down, I took my elbow and I poured everything into my basket, and I was so happy that nobody saw me. And in the parking lot, someone was kind enough to give me the phone number for Vision and said, please, please. And I came in 2013, and I was desperate. There you got the story where how desperate I was. But it wasn't until October of 2014 when I finally hit it and faced it. I am a true, true compulsive overeater, and I have not had one of my binge foods ever, because I understand what the doctor's opinion is telling me, that once I taste it, I have that certain craving that is just unbelievable, and I can't fight it, and I cannot control it, and nor can I control my life or anything about it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leah F. from upstate New York. All right, Janet B., you're up, followed by Nancy C.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I always, when I like read this story about Jim, I always like to contrast it with Bill Wilson when he was tempted in the chapter Vision for You. So here we see Jim, right? He had his charming wife, his family, all back together. He had a job, but he went out, and when the thought came, he got drunk. And then I look at Bill Wilson, page 154. This is when he was in Ohio. He had just tried to do some financial venture. It didn't work. And this is how they describe him: bitterly discouraged, in a strange place, discredited, almost broke, physically weak, sober but a few months. And he had got tempted, but instead of drinking, he actually made the call that started Alcoholics Anonymous. So how come? What's the difference? And as has been said, it talks about Jim, says he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So when the thought came, he had no defense. And, you know, I always think how back when I was binging, I used to say, well, I binged because ... And there was always a reason, right? My lousy family, my lousy job, the weather, something. But here we see that if we are eating compulsively, it never has to do with our circumstances, right? Because look what Bill was like. It always has to do with our spiritual condition. And, you know, here it says with Jim, the thought came. And there is a time where our book uses that same term with Bill Wilson on page 14. It says after he'd started working the steps. He's in the hospital. The thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. So God was directing his thoughts because he had surrendered to God. And so what did he do when he was tempted? It says he walked down the lobby to the church directory and made the call that actually eventually led him to Dr. Bob. He wasn't running from alcohol. He was going toward something, toward serving other people. And I think that's what we have to do. Instead of saying, I won't eat, I won't eat, I won't eat, which never works, we have to run toward God, toward cleaning up our past, toward helping other people. And when that happens, when the thought comes, we've got a spiritual toolbox and with which we can deal with those thoughts. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Janet, where are you from again? I forgot, or I missed it.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Wow, North Carolina in the house. All right, thank you, Janet. All right, Nancy C., you're up, followed by Robin P. Let's keep it rolling.
Hey, Amy, thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered today in Ann Arbor, well, actually Six Lakes, Michigan. And, oh, my God, the suddenlies. Oh, the suddenlies are a story of my life. When I think about all the times that I had suddenlies, it's that fear that just freezes me. So I just punch, I act out, I take a decision, I take a path and I go for it and never look back because I am so afraid of stopping. You know, it's really my restless, irritable discontent on steroids. If I don't take care of my inventory and stay close to God and take that step one that I'm powerless, the suddenlies are my power. It makes me say, I know what I'm doing. I don't need to listen to anybody else. And that was the story of my life. I ate to hide the suddenlies because I didn't know what else to do. And those decisions were always so poorly planted. But I didn't have anything else in my head. And coming into this program and realizing that I didn't need to live in the suddenlies anymore if I stayed in fit spiritual condition, if I found that power that was outside of myself that would protect me when I felt like the suddenlies and took that pause that we talk about in the 11th step, I don't have them so much. If I wake up and turn my life over to God every morning and help other people and live in this program truly and benevolently, my chances of not having the suddenlies are much greater than if I wake up and just decide that Nancy's in charge. It's an ugly place when Nancy's in charge and those suddenlies are everywhere and those decisions are always bad. They're always based on self and they always result in having to clean up an aisle 13. I am so glad today that you guys trudge with me and help me realize that I am powerless and that there is a power that restores me to sanity, which is staying out of the suddenlies. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. All righty, up next, Robin P., followed by Russ M.
Thank you, Amy. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive eater in Costa Rica. It's so interesting to me because I used to feel like I got struck binging. How did this happen? What? And I would just be baffled, and it felt like Russian roulette. How did I get here? And oh no! And
Robin, we lost you.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my gosh. You really?
Just the last
oh
five
my
seconds
God.
Or so.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay,
lost
I just unmuted and muted myself. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, wow, that's so odd. Anyway, I felt the only one who didn't know I was powerless was me. And, you know, I just had such a disease of denial. And this time it will be okay. And I can afford this resentment. And I can feel irritated and not do anything about it. You know, all of those things, it's just, I'm so eternally grateful for this program and for the steps and for, you know, reaching up and reaching out and for my God squad and just having solutions today to when I feel irritated, when something happens, I don't walk around with a resentment like that. And then all of a sudden, I have an idea. You know, I always think of the word rational lies, rational, L-I-E-S. You know, I can rationalize that. And no. And I've recently been going through something where where someone who's an alcoholic, bullied me, and I'm not she wasn't in a good place at all, and she's going through a lot, and and I have a beautiful life, and sometimes that's hard on people, and and I've really had to work my program. Wow, is it triggering because I was bullied as a kid. And, you know, thankfully, I have a program today, and it really feels painful. And, you know, when it's hysterical, it's historical, you know. And, wow, it feels to the core of my being how painful this feels. And I just get to keep growing up or growing out. I get to keep growing up. And, you know, I thought this was a horrible experience. My sponsor thinks it's a wonderful experience. She said that I get to grow spiritually and it's going to be such a great spiritual awakening for me. So you just, you know, perspective is everything. So, and I know that I get to keep enlarging my spiritual life. And, I'm just so grateful for all of you and for this program. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P., Costa Rica. All right, Russ M., followed by Sheila F. Just real quick, we are on page 36, the second paragraph, starting with suddenly, unpacking that one paragraph. So after Sheila, we'll be taking some more names. But until then, Russ, you are up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Aim. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. So I can't get past the first word, suddenly. I want to joke about it because, you know, I had all these awesome ideas and ways of rationalizing this disease, and it kept me in bondage for about 40 years since I was about, 5, 6 years old. I killed it on Atari today. That means, you know, I could get away with eating. Or, you know, recently I ran 12 miles, so, you know, it doesn't matter. That was my milk. You know what I mean? The whiskey and the milk. Bright, lean brain ideas. Cost me money, relationships, and my health. You know, I'm battling a couple health issues, but nothing crazy. We're good right now. But until I was fatigued, until I just couldn't do it anymore. I went after the steps because somebody exposed them to me 10 years prior, and that's when I had my worst progression of the illness. And why? I don't know. I have no clue why my brain works this way. And, you know, I'm tired of figuring it out, to be frank with you. This changed my life, being broken like this. You know, I had to keep the wall up. I got to be a tough guy, keep the family name up, do good. No, I don't. I don't have to do any of that crap. I got to live a regular life. And I am a weakling and a broken man in many ways. And through my weakness and brokenness, I became strong. I'm able to be like regular now through the steps and this way of life. And, you know, you guys like him, I don't want to say investing in me, but Bunny, when I came in, I was really sick, man. So you did that for me. I have to do that for someone else. And I identify with Jim. I lost my business. I had to work for someone. I built my book. I built my patient base. I had to go to another practice, bring it with me, and split it with someone. because of my stupid mistakes and this disease or whatever other things. It's not just, you know, I can't put everything on. I made a lot of mistakes myself, but I'm alive now. I'm thriving. You guys heard it a million times, but I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm with my kids. My kids didn't want to talk to me. I'm out playing. This weekend I got two big gigs in Philadelphia with my kids. With my kids. That's because of this program. So I guess maybe I had them lame brain ideas that led me to the brokenness, that led me to say, yo, God, I need help through the steps in a program, and I have this. So maybe there's a blessing in all that. I can't figure it out. I just know what changed is that I had to live this way of life, and that's it. I got to be immersed in it, just like I was immersed in the food cracked out, in the food crack out. Nutritional crack house. I got to be in this spiritual, not crack house, but this spiritual way of life. So sorry to go on. I love you guys, and I'm grateful for everything y'all have done for me. And I hope that I can help you. Have a great day. Thanks, Amy.
All good. Russ, thank you. Russ M. from Philly, PA. All right, Sheila F., and then we're going to take some more names. Please go ahead, Sheila.
Hi, this is Sheila F. in Florida. I am headed back home to Michigan today, and this mental twist that's being talked about by Jim today is so perfect for me. Yesterday, I was talking on the phone to my son and his girlfriend. She's finishing up college, and she's a barista, and my son was saying, or she was saying to me, oh, I can make you a beautiful coffee. A decaf latte. And I said, oh, how lovely. And then she said, oh, maybe you'd like some, because I said, I really like the foam. And she said, well, how about some matcha foam? And I said, oh, I love matcha. And then my son says, it's this beautiful green sweetened. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I realize that I so want to please my son and his girlfriend. And it's a mental twist that somehow, I've always called it an alternate reality. It's like I break off mentally into a different world where somehow I can do things that I know will kill me. And so I had to gently say, well, thank you so much, but I am so happy without sugar. And it just, and what not having sugar does through my body. I feel so good right now. I don't have any cravings or feelings or thoughts that are intrusive. When I have sugar, what happens to me is I can't even listen to conversations because all I'm thinking about is how I can get more. Literally, if I have one piece of something out in the world, at someone's home, what happens to me is I'm thinking about where I can stop to get some more. And then I tell my, then the old way would have been I would tell myself, well, I'll just have to start over tomorrow because this urge is too strong. So I'm glad we read this today. I have my, I went to the grocery store, spent a lot of money to get wonderful foods in case I am stuck in the airport for some reason. So I'll have three meals with me, which I figure should be good, should cover me. So, and my son went to the grocery store and got everything on my list. I confirmed it yesterday. I'm going to a woman's retreat up in Michigan for the start of my vacation and caring for my mother with Alzheimer's. And I called them, and they, as usual, I've been going there for several years. They've got all my food. Everything's going to be okay. And I even have a few backups just in case of emergency. So I'm really blessed that everybody's here.
Time.
And I have this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sheila F. Okay, so we're going to take more names of those who would like to share on what was read, which was on page 36, talking paragraphs, starting with suddenly. Through that one paragraph. So who would like to share?
Delena C.
Lisa O.
Michelle M.
Lisa O. New Jersey.
Okay, all I got was All I got was, I think it was Elise from New Jersey and Elena C. So if you could try that. Lisa O.
Michelle M.
Okay.
Maisie C.
J. Lisa O.
Suze from New Jersey. S-U-Z-E.
Maisie C. and Suze.
Suze.
Yeah, I need
Michelle M.
from New Jersey. Suze. All right, we're going to stop there. Michelle, I'm... Mm-hmm, I did. So, I don't think we'll get to everybody. I just was writing names down as fast as I could. So, I got Elena C., Elise, I'm not sure, Elise, if I heard you in there. Anita J., Lisa O., Maisie C., Suze from New Jersey, Michelle M. Let's see how far we get. Okie dokie. All right, Elena. You're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C., recovered in South Carolina. I do appreciate this paragraph a lot, and I look at the previous paragraph, and what it says there is that Jim failed to enlarge his spiritual life, or not fail, but did not enlarge his spiritual life. What he did was he acquired knowledge about what addiction is. They came to talk to him about what alcoholism is. And he was, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then, you know, he went about his business. That's all he did. He did stay. He didn't drink for a while. And then the other paragraph talks about Jim feeling irritated. So he had emotions. And he went about a day, you know, since he did not have God in his life. I mean, he did have God in his life. He just did not reach to God and did not have the experience of the 12 steps. What he did was, oops, a thought came to mind, you know, all of a sudden. And I don't think anyone in here understands that, right? And so the mental twist, that thought that we all had, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it one time, and I'm going to be fine. And after one time, I can do it again, and I'm going to stop there. After a second time, I'm going to do it again, and I'll stop, and blah, blah, blah. And that's called addiction. That's called addictive brain. And the science has proven that our prefrontal lobe is different than an average person. So we are not like other people. Now, from there, from the whiskey in his milk, there comes the physical allergy of the body and the phenomenon of craving. And that's it. And that's how we can spiral down, you know, and I have to be very careful about that, and I need to get it 100%. I cannot in any shape and form not have God in my life. I cannot not stay in the 12 steps of recovery. I cannot wake up in the morning and go about my business without calling upon God through prayer meditation. I cannot work with another and pass this beautiful program along. Why? Because I'm going to be Jim, and you better believe that. And I am so grateful that today I can assure you I do not have thoughts about, you know, eating cake. I just don't. I just look at them, and I don't have them. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to stay here, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Elena C. All right, did I get Elise? Did I get that right? Did I hear you? If so, star one to unmute. Okay, maybe not. All right, let's go ahead to Anita J., followed by Lisa O.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. I don't know. if you guys ever saw this old movie called The Manchurian Candidate. This guy was living a life, and his mother hypnotized him so that when she used a word, suddenly he would stop whatever he was doing and follow her voice. Well, I don't need a movie. That movie was already going on in me. Suddenly, when I used years ago, when you entered the supermarket, the door I usually went through, you hit the bakery first. The smells were just incredible. And my solution at the time, my man-made solution, was I go in the other way. Well, that didn't work. It worked a little, but it didn't work. There is no man-made solution to suddenly, because that's always going to be there. I'm wired that way. Doesn't matter why, you know, in The Manchurian Candidate, it was his mother did this to him. Well, I wasn't my poor mother. My poor mother, if it was, her poor mother did it to her. You know, it's a family heritage here. The wanting to eat. But the miracle, through God's grace, is I don't feel that way anymore. When any old bloody door, it doesn't matter what's on the other side of it. I'm protected. So long as I, you know, stay in fit spiritual condition. I just love that. Yeah, there's no secret to that. Reaching out, sponsoring, caring about other people more than I care for Anita, in a healthy way, not in that I need Al-Anon way. So I'm grateful to all of you. I just this is one of the most spiritual things I do is dial in here, and I'm very grateful. Pat.
Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. So I think, I'm not sure we're going to get to Michelle, but we've got Lisa O., Maisie C. Lisa O., you're up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa O. I'm in Western Mass and a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And, well, there's so many paragraphs that are my favorite, but this one, and like as many others have said, the word suddenly, it's like abracadabra. It had just this magical effect on me, and I was just amazed, especially when I read the paragraph the first time, like suddenly, like I just, something came over me, and I would go, eat, or I would convince myself that I didn't need to pack lunch, or I didn't need to aim it. Just all these things that just came out of nowhere. It was just crazy. It literally was just crazy to me how controlling a simple thought was. And then I could not stop that thought. I could not stop the action that I would take from having that thought. It's just incredible. And now, fast forward into 5 years, I don't get those thoughts hardly at all. As long as I'm doing the next right thing, as long as I'm in my right spiritual condition, I'm turning to God first thing and several times throughout the day. I'm always seeking guidance, trying to do my best to do Thy will, and not doing what I want to do. And now I have new suddenly thoughts, and this one just happened this past weekend, which I'm still quite excited about because I spent years being resentful towards my mother-in-law, and we had to go to Canada for a funeral. It was one night. I typically always bring my food. Everyone teases me. I bring the refrigerator with me, and I just was unable to. It was quick. We had to get up there. I couldn't bring a whole lot of stuff over the border. It's expensive to shop there. So I just assumed, which we all know where that could get us, that there would be something for me to eat at my mother-in-law's house. And I get there, we get there time for dinner, and she has this beautiful dinner prepared. And there wasn't any alcoholic of foods involved. I'm just dairy free. I can't do butter anymore. And everything was cooked with that. And so I could not eat it. And for a split second, I had that sudden thought of resentment, like, oh. But then
And this is the wonderful gift from God and being in program. The sudden thought that I had was, well, I didn't tell her I wasn't bringing my food. I didn't ask her, hey, could you please make sure there's a chicken breast or something? You know, I didn't do my part. And that is just such a gift because, like I said, for years I had so much resentment and I would have been angry at her when I failed to do my part. And it was just, it's just a miracle that just to have a whole total switch of an attitude. And so I went to her garden, I figured things out, and I was able to eat an abstinent meal and just, you know, have a much more pleasant experience with my mother-in-law at the table versus what I used to have, because my suddenly thoughts were also full of resentment and just being anger. And that's not a place that I want to be, nor do I, you know, live in anymore, thanks to, you know, God and program. And so thank you all so much for your service. Thank you for letting me share, and I wish you all an abstinent day.
Thank you so much, Lisa O from Massachusetts. Okay, Maisie and Suze, if you guys go 2.5 each, we got time to get you both in. Okie doke.
Thank you so much.
Maisie C, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm Maisie C. from Massachusetts, and grateful, believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm so grateful for all of you. It brings me to tears when I think of time I wasted because I had come on here maybe, I don't know, 6 years ago, and it wasn't for me, and it wasn't you people, it was me. I wasn't ready, and today I'm ready, and I've been coming since May 1st. This is my 3 month anniversary. When I came on, I got abstinent, and it was all because of what I heard here, and I haven't missed a day since, because I know this is where I'm going to get my medicine, this is where I'm going to get fed strength and hope, and I didn't have any prior to this. I have a lot of things going on, medical. There's a possibility I could have cancer. My dog has diabetes, and you know, it's like, no matter what, I can't eat. I can't eat what's not good for me. I've had many suddenlies, you know, get into the food. Oh, well, I'll skip a meal and I'll have a candy bar. I'll skip a meal and I'll have a bowl of ice cream. And that wasn't enough, as we all know. You know, that would just put me right back on a spin, a crazy spin. I always felt like I was spiritually fit, but I was nowhere as close as being spiritually fit as I am today. Again, thanks to all of you. This is my family. You know, I have to show up for my family every day. I don't have to. I want to. I need to. I love to. I've been in program for 24 years. And I tell you, I've been in and out of the food, in and out of program, just all over the place, crazy. But I'm just, again, so grateful that the love of Christ brought me here, and I want to stay here. I'm never leaving. I'm here for the long haul. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to give back what I've been so gracefully given, just like all of you. You've given me so much of, I can't even tell you. It's just, I'm just so happy to be a part of the group. Thank you. And with that, I pass. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie. And for the contact list, can you spell your name, please?
M-A-Z-Y.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
From New Jersey, you're up.
Hi, this is Suze S. from New Jersey, S-U-Z-E.
Oh.
S from New Jersey. At least I think that's who you're calling. And I rarely speak.
Yes.
I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. And I just like to say that, oh goodness, that guy is so me. Or what I was like. But I used a certain twist of the mind, and it was, I might as well eat. I might as well eat. And that had directly to do with, I mean, I really started going crazy with this disease back when I was 16. And that's what I said to myself, I might as well eat. And yeah, the whiskey and the milk, although I didn't use whiskey. I actually worked in a bowling alley at the lunch counter. and I could eat anything I wanted. That was like crazy. It was like Lucy in the candy factory. It was bad. It was really bad. And my whole life has been pretty much like that. But for me, it's the spiritual thing. I always thought I was spiritual in my life, and now I'm finally waking up, and it's like my life was unmanageable. That's why I ate. And maybe, you know, there's many, many other reasons I could give, but I was afraid. It was fear. I've had sponsors say when it comes to the fourth step and beyond that it's about fear, and it really, really is. I can't control my life, and this is how I did, and it didn't work. It was awful. So I just thank higher power for coming into my life in a special way and hope that I can stay there. And I pray that I can stay there, and working this steps every day is how I do it, and surrender.
Time?
That I really don't know. Thank you. I pass.
All right. That was Suze S. from New Jersey. Time to wrap things up, folks. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, August 1st, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 21,622. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Elena C., could you please take us out?
Good morning. Elena C. again from South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen.